Morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Chof Gimel, the 23rd chapter of the first book of Divrei Hayomim. We're now at a position where David HaMelech is towards the very end of his life, and we're hearing about the preparations he makes towards the Beis HaMikdash, towards the future as he ends his life. Our Perek is made up of 32 psukim, and it is made up of a real count of the Leviim, a restriction and a application as to where all of them belong, and their ages, and their brackets, and their jobs. It is interesting that this section is in fact parallel to many other sections in the Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim as well. So for instance, in Parshas Va'era, Perek Vav in Shmos, we hear about the genealogy of the Leviim, we hear about the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar in Perek Gimel, and then Parshas Pinchas and Perek Chof Zayin of Bamidbar, we hear about the count for the Leviim. So it parallels those counts. We also hear about it earlier on in Divrei Hayomim Aleph in Perek Vav, and again in Perek Tes, and we're going to hear about it again a little bit extra in Perek Chof Dalet to come next Perek. So just this, the count of the Leviim is something which takes us across from Tanakh. And let's take a look at the details in our perek. The first two psukim describe how David HaMelech is zaken u'sava yomim. David HaMelech is old, he's satiated in days, and he establishes his son over all of Israel, and he gathers all the sarei Yisrael v'akwanim alavim. So he's now setting up the structures in society for Shlomo HaMelech to govern. You'll notice that this is the same type of structure that we see in Melachim Aleph Perek Beis, where David HaMelech is about to give the last will and testament to Shlomo HaMelech, some certain very important messages and requests from him. We don't hear about this section, which is a supplementary section in Divrei Hayomim, where now he establishes the reign of the Leviim and their importance in society. So the two complement each other. Why is he doing this? Now the Rambam explains. Now that he's already established Shlomo HaMelech as a king, he sets up the structure of the Leviim and the Kohanim so that all is intact for the Avoda, for the service going forward. He leaves no T uncrossed, no I undotted. We now hear about the Leviim themselves, so Psukim Gimel to Vav. In these four Psukim, we hear the count is from 30 years and above, and we hear about the count. The count is 38,000 men in the Leviim, and he divides that up into a few groups. Lenatzeach al Melech Hashem. Those who are Lenatzeach, we'll translate that in just a moment, on the work of God, is 24,000 of the 38. Then the Shotrim and Shoftim, the policemen and judges, are 6,000 Leviim. The gatekeepers, the Sho'arim, are 4,000, and the instrumentalists, those are the ones who are mahalalim lahashem bakelim, those ones who are using instruments to praise Hashem, those are another 4,000, totaling the 38,000 together. Why is the bracket of age such? Why 30? Well, that's exactly what the Torah tells us. If you read the Torah in Bamidbar Perek Dalad, it says, Miben es shloshim shana. Although the count for Israel is 20 years and above, for Leviim it is 30 years and above. The Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin, teaches us that, synthesizing another pasuk later on in Bamidbar Ches Chav Dalet, which says that from the age of 25, the implication is that at 25 they were initiated into the service, and they were trained until 30 when they were actually involved in the actual service itself. Now, that group of the 24,000, the biggest of the four groups of the Leviim, which are Lenatzeach HaMelech HaShem, what exactly does that mean? So the Mitzvah says it means to sing. Yes, we had 4,000 instrumentalists, but there were actually 24,000 Leviim who sang, the Mishorarim. And it is interesting because that relates to the word Lam Natzeach. So the word Lenatzeach means to, actually, as we know in Tehillim, it means to sing. The Ralbag says, no, perhaps it means it refers to some of the more basic or menial aspects of Levia, which are cleaning, protecting, maintenance, and that could be the main and primary purpose of the Levia. Fascinating to look at that in a different way. Who are these Shoftim and Shotrim? So the Ralbag says that one of the prime functions of the Shevet of Levi is Yoru Mishpatecho Liyakov, as Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Bracha to Levi, that you're going to teach the teachings of Torah to Israel. So that's the Shofet, who is deciding. And then there is the Shoter, the policeman who applies those teachings. So Levi was filling their job and their role. Now, it doesn't mean to say that there could not be jobs from other tribes, they certainly could, but there was a larger ratio of judges and policemen from Levi, and they certainly weren't only policing and judging Levi, because that's too high a ratio for simply one tribe. You'll notice a curious word in this small section we just read, which describes those 4,000 Leviim who are using instruments by Kelim Asher Osisi Lahalel, with those vessels that I made to praise. That's strange. It sort of steps out of the narrative and describes that I made. Who is speaking here? Says the Rabag. It refers to David HaMelech. Why is it stepping out of its narrative? So the Dat Mikra explains that because, you know, it wasn't that David HaMelech was just Mizmor Shir. He was just singing the songs of the Beis HaMikdash. He actually built the Klei HaMikdash, and we'll see many attributions later on in Direi Yamim Beis as well, where we see the Kelim, or the vessels, are directly attributed to David HaMelech, and that's being emphasized over here, almost giving David HaMelech a voice in Direi Yamim as well. Well, then we hear about the different families. So we hear from Sukkim Zayin to Yud Aleph. We hear about the family of Gershon. He has two children, La'adan and Shimi. And we hear about three Roshim from each of them. Okay, so we're going to hear about all the different divisions that are going to create the framework for the 24 Mishmaris, the 24 God duty groups in Levi. Then we hear about the family of Kahas, the second family, from Pesukim Yud Beis to Chof. In this section, we hear about the four children, Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, Uziel, and then we hear about their children. And in and amongst this, we hear about the difference between Moshe and Aaron. It says, Vayibodel Aaron lahakdishoy. Aaron was separated to sanctify him, Kodesh Kodashim, Holy of Holies, Uvonov Adolam, he and his children forever, lahaktir lifnei Hashem, l'sharosol avorech b'shmoy Adolam, to bring sacrifices in front of God, to serve him, and to give the blessings for eternity. Why is this necessary? Malbim explains, because we're trying to count the Levium in this parak, and Aaron is not a Levi, he's a Kohen, he's a priest. So Aaron, it's explaining why it is that Aaron is not part of this count, and only Moshe remains part of the Levium. This is actually very interesting in terms of halachic applications. The Mishnah in Horios teaches us that for certain things, Kohanim take precedence over Levim, and certainly over Yisraelim when it comes to finding their lost objects or saving them if it is a zero-sum game in certain instances. We now move on to the Merari family from Pesukim Chof Aleph to Chof Gimel. We hear about Machli and Mushi, his two children, and we hear about their subsequent children. We also hear about Elazar, who had Loyo Bonim Kiim Banos. He only has daughters, and they were not contributing to the Rosh HaAvos, to these Mishmaris, in this respect. The Malbim points out, if you count all the Rosh HaAvos, if you count the heads of all the different family here, you'll only get 22 Mishmaris, which doesn't seem to work out. So the Malbim quotes a very important rule to know, that Divrei Torah are Ashirim b'makom echad v'aniim b'makom echad, that you can have an idea where you'll have complementary sections which are impoverished in one place and rich in another place, which means that you need to read both places in order to be able to understand the full picture. And if you go to the next parak Chof Dalet, you'll hear about more of the children of Merari who contribute to the 24 Mishmaris. If we do a total tally, that means to say that Gershon has 9, Kahas has 9, and Merari has 6, totaling 24 Mishmaris. And the way it would work, without each bay of 2 weeks of a year, that they would be on full duty. Then those 2 weeks were separated from each other by about half a year. So that would be the general way that this was set up. And that's what David HaMelech was doing now. We now hear from Pesukim Chof Dalet, Chof Zayin, how David HaMelech does another count. And this count now is from 20 years and above. Why? Ki Omar David says, Heiniach Hashem Elokei Yisrael Amoy Vayishkom Yerushalayim Ad Le'olam. Because now Hashem has decided to choose Jerusalem as a resting place. What does this have to do with why he's counting from 20 and above? And how can he go against what the Torah says explicitly in Parashat Bamidbar about counting from 30 years and above for the Levium? So the Malbim explains that that's exactly the point. David HaMelech said, yes, we needed from the age 30 and above, when the primary focus was carrying Bakot Teif Yisrael, that they carried the Mishkan on their shoulders. That required a certain degree of strength and training, which could only be from the age of 30 and above. But now that the Mishkan is no longer traveling, it's in Yerushalayim permanently, In such an instance, thou it even 20 can be the age used. And then the last section of our parak, Chav Ches, 2 Lamed Beis, the last 5 psukim of our parak deal with the many different duties that the Leviim are responsible for. So we hear all about interesting things: hachatzeras, the courtyards, the lishkois, the different rooms, storage rooms, taras lekol hakodesh, the purity of all the different vessels, the work of the avodas beis elokim, of the service in the house of Hashem, including the lechem aponim, the flowers, the meal offerings, the different types of meal offerings, the deep pans, the light pans, all the different measurements, to stand and thank and praise and sing for Hashem in the morning and in the evening on the regular Korban Tamid, and all the special sacrifices on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Moed and all the different times. And it describes all the important things that were part of the function in servicing the Kohanim that the Leviim had the responsibility to do. Why do we need this whole section? Here the Malbim explains, because it should be patently obvious to us that after seeing all these incredible responsibilities, that there simply are not enough Leviim to be able to fill the quota if only it is from the age of 30 above, which is another reason why it is that David HaMelech counted from 20 and above to fill in all these incredibly important jobs. And perhaps the more meaningful of these jobs were the ones that were initiated from the 20 to 30 year olds, until the 30 year olds were more experienced to be able to do the more complex ones of this. And finally, just as we close this parak, just a very beautiful comment, a very poetic comment that Abba Brunel makes at the end of this parak, and he says, is there any other religion of this size that has 24,000 people who are employed to look after every aspect of their place of prayer, and judges and officers, all for upholding the spiritual pursuit? He says this is a true Kiddush Hashem, to appreciate how much effort is invested in the Beis Hashem, the house of Hashem. And from my perspective, it makes sense that this is, again, another effort of David, that although he cannot make the house with his own hands, he does everything short of that. One is he stockpiles from all the wars the necessary wood and stone and precious stones to make the Beis HaMikdash, but he also sets up the mishmaros, the requisite stations and jobs of the Leviim and the Kohanim to be able to service the Beis HaMikdash, which Shlomo his son will in fact build. With this, we close the parak. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.